Man puts his kings on thrones. Therefore, God sits on a throne. Man puts a crown on the head of his greatest leaders. Therefore, God puts a crown on his head so the man could see that he is the exalted leader. The Apostle Paul said that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen and understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. But I think that to some degree man is very thick-headed, and the subtlety of God's throne in the heavens, visible at all times, yet invisible, and the majesty and glory of the creation itself, which speaks to us of the nature of this incorruptible God, is too subtle for the coarse minds of men. The creation which is sufficient to inspire wonder, awe, and worship in the heart of man, does not affect all men that way. Not all men are affected by the things that are clearly seen. And they need a more blunt example. What does man understand? Man understands a man on a throne. That's what we understand. That's a simple image for people to comprehend. A man on a seat with authority, with power. Man knows how to fear before that image. They know how to cower before another man who's in authority, who has power. This is God speaking to us in less subtle language. Not in the subtle language of the heavenlies, in which are clearly seen to those so minded his eternal power and Godhead, but rather in a very blunt way. He is enthroned. He is in power. That's what the message is, in the most simple terms that man should be able to pick up on. And so God is also shown on a throne. He is king. He is ruler. And I'm not saying there is no literal throne. I just say it's totally unnecessary. I mean, does there have to be a literal throne? Well, if you'd like to think of it that way, that's fine. I'm not going to deny it because I really don't know. How would I know from reading this? Well, it says there's a throne. Yeah, but he's in the spirit.
Look, there's no simpler way to go about interpreting the Bible than to just take the most literal view possible. Yes, absolutely, there's a throne in heaven, and this is what it looks like. Just, we're going to take it in the most literal sense, that it is an actual object in an actual space, in an actual place, and that this is just the report of a reporter, and that all such reports should be taken absolutely in the most literal sense possible. But technically, that's actually impossible. Because there are passages in which a literal interpretation is not possible. I think of Isaiah chapter 28, where it says, "And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies." You can't make a refuge out of lies. I mean, you can, but not literally. Lies are ideas. You can't actually build a physical refuge. And so we have to understand that to be a symbolic refuge. It is a spiritual refuge, if you will. But it is not a literal refuge made out of lies in the physical realm. And so while it is very easy to take a literal, concrete reading of everything you read in the Scripture, there is nothing in the Scripture that tells you that that is always the course you ought to take. The book of Daniel is filled with symbols. The book of Revelation is filled with symbols. Whenever things are given in vision, say like in Ezekiel, there's this very similar vision of the throne. These things are being shown to man to give us a certain understanding. It's a fundamentally unsound practice to just literally interpret every symbol. So, well, I don't interpret every symbol literally. Well, then you won't object to me looking at this in a symbolic way. Because that's all we're doing. We're just looking at it as a possibility. I mean, if it's a literal throne, I don't have much to say. And even if it is a literal throne, it still symbolizes something. Does sitting on a throne make a man a king? Does wearing a crown make a man a king? Then Burger King is handing out kingships left and right. Just because a man has a crown on his head and just because he sits on a throne does not make him a king. These are symbols of authority, symbols of power themselves. A throne is a symbol of power. It gives no actual power. You can't sit down on a throne and then instantly command armies just because you happen to be on the throne. Whoever sits on the seat is king. You know, this isn't the sword and the stone. Whosoever shall draw the sword from the stone shall be the king. where the very literal possessing of a artifact of power makes one powerful. It is not the throne that makes God powerful, but God that makes the throne powerful. God's authority, God's power. The throne is a symbol. The crown, a symbol. These things are given for our eyes to feast on so that we would know he has power. He is in authority. He sits on the throne.
I mean, just as Christ appeared as a man, God is not a man, but he takes human form, so God appears on the throne. Verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Jasper, supposedly some green stone, and these other stones, emerald, green. There seems to be a lot of green involved here, which is kind of interesting, like a greenish rainbow. As human kings clothe themselves in purple, I don't know if this is meant to set him aside. But you think about it, it makes sense. He is the creator. The color probably most associated with life is green. And the throne of God has about it a green light. But I'm not positive about the colors. This emerald, I think I wrote a note here saying that this could be also a ruby or something like that. So green and red, kind of Christmassy, right? And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So here we have 24 seats around the throne, and on those seats, 24 elders. 24 is a number that's significant. You know, Christ had 12 apostles, there were 12 patriarchs, 24 is a multiple of 12. There were 24 courses of the priests of Aaron. As far as identifying these beings, these elders, presbyteros, that's the same word we use for elders in the church, it means elders. I take them to be elder beings. These are beings that are elder. Been around a long time. What is their nature? Angelic? Because we can only really say angelic. I remember when I was young and I learned that angel meant messenger. Suddenly, like, the whole idea of angel really changed in my mind because I realized they were so named from the way that they came to men. They came bearing a message and then they were messengers, messengers of God. Technically not really a class of being, but rather a job description. Because they're the seraphim, the teraphim, the cherubim, you know, all these different names applied, and they call them all angels because they all, you know.
Because the Bible also uses it as a generic term for all the beings that inhabit the heavenlies.
They're all portrayed in sort of different varying descriptions and wings and so on and so forth, and we call them all angels. So these are, I believe, beings of an angelic nature.